The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
All right, welcome in Gasper and Murray on this Saturday morning. No Murray, Tim McCone in. We do have Chris Gasper. Chris, good to see you.
McCone, good to be with you.
Right. Brian Hoyer in for Cam Newton on this Saturday morning. I'm just going to try to manage the clock, unlike Brian Hoyer. Hopefully I'm relatively successful, but I will do my best to fill in for
Murray. If you play anything like Brian Hoyer, I'm going to get up and walk out.
Yeah,
now.
That's not a bad idea. Luckily, we do have, Murray decided to take a weekend off when there was plenty of stuff to talk about, and I want to dive right into the big news from last night, and that's obviously Antonio Brown back in the NFL. And back with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. That came together pretty fast last night. Agreed to a one-year deal, and it looks like he's going to be ready to go for Week 9. What were your thoughts when you saw that come across, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little surprised. I mean, I know that Tom Brady clearly has an affinity for Antonio Brown. I think that he sort of became, you know, besotted by Brown's talent and the very brief experience he had with him with the Patriots. But I looked at that Tampa Bay team, and look, I recognize that they've had injuries to guys like Godwin and Mike Evans, but both those guys are practicing now. In fact, Evans was a full participant yesterday. And I look at it and think there's just a lot of mouths to feed and egos to manage and egos to juggle. Like, for example, Chris Godwin, right? Yeah, he's been banged up, yeah. McCone. He's also in a contract year. Like, he's trying to get paid. So he's been banged up. He's missed games, but he's definitely going to want to play. And when he does, he's going to want to put up his numbers so he can get paid. How does Antonio Brown affect that? I just sort of look at it, and I feel the same way I felt when the Patriots brought Antonio Brown in before. It's just not a wise risk. It's sort of an unnecessary risk. I understand, look, I've covered the NFL for a long time. I get it. Talent trumps trouble. There's a scale there. And Antonio Brown's talent weights it in terms of giving him second, third, fourth chances. But you're set up pretty well as Tampa Bay. I like the young rookie Tyler Johnson. I think that's a deep spot for them despite the injuries. And now you're going to throw this guy into the mix, a guy who's burned through three teams. The last three teams he's been on. To me, I just feel like this is Tom Brady sort of, you know, thinking more with his eyes. You know, it's sort of like when you're hungry, right? And you order a bunch of food you shouldn't order. It's like he's thinking more with his eyes than his head.
There's no doubt he has burned the last three teams that he's been a part of, yes. And it's been a disaster in each three of those spots.
It's been the Hindenburg in each spot.
That being said, I love it.
You do?
I love that move for the Bucs. I really do. I think it's totally different from the Patriots last year, too, because I look at the move for the Pats last season, and to me at that time, that was almost a necessary move for New England, right? Because they really didn't have offensive weapons, and really that was the only way that you were going to get there. I look at the Bucs right now. You got, to your point, in terms of talent, what, three of the top 15 receivers now in the NFL on that roster? And so if it doesn't work out, I still think you have plenty of talent. And if it does, and it's Antonio Brown that we've seen in the past, and I think he's going to be able to step in right away and be successful in Tampa Bay. You look at what he did in New England last year. Was he at three practices in that first drive against Miami?
Oh, yeah.
He was lights out. So I just think the upside is so high there. I know they've already lost two games. I think 19-0 is back on the table for the Bucs. I don't know how that happens, but I think they're going to be that good. I love the move, but there's no doubt, by the way, the influence that Brady has in Tampa Bay versus what it was in New England.
Oh, unbelievable. Although I will say this, you know, that's true. However, if you really look at last year, I mean, they bring in Antonio Brown and Brady signs off on that, and Belichick wanted him too. But that Mohamed Sanu trade.
That's a good point.
I mean, that was not a Bill Belichick move. They made that move, and it was designed to placate Brady. And I have to give Bill credit for that. And I have to point the finger. You know, you know me. I'm usually Team Tom, but I have to point the finger at Brady too for saying, "Hey, I want Sanu over Emmanuel Sanders." So it turns out it's not just Belichick who can't always accurately evaluate wide receivers. So that was a bad deal for the Patriots. They did that for Brady. So, you know, he probably had more sway here than we thought at the end. But I mean, wow. I mean, this is like Peyton Manning-esque. I mean, he's basically calling the shots. He's the quarterback, the head coach, the general manager. He might be the owner. I don't know. This is his team.
617-779-0985.
Oh, he's the training staff, too, with TB12.
That is 100%
true.
He's
also
definitely the training staff.
Yeah, he's the training staff as well. I left that out. Sorry, McCone.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number if you want to jump on and talk Antonio Brown. When you look at this move for the Bucs, I mean, obviously you're not as high on it as I am, but what do you think the ceiling is now for that Tampa Bay team?
Well, look, if it works out, it could be tremendous. I already think they have a pretty good offense. The biggest surprise for me has been Ronald Jones. I think he's been really good for them, and they had questions about their running game. That's why they went out and signed LeSean McCoy. That's why they went out and brought in Leonard Fournette. But, you know, Rojo's been really good, and I think you make an argument that he's been their most consistent offensive player. We all know what Mike Evans can do and what he's done throughout the course of his career playing with Jameis Winston. Godwin was tremendous last year. If he can get healthy, I like some of the young guys. I think Brady likes Scotty Miller. Here's my thing, though. You know, this sort of smacks to me in a lot of ways, like just to bring it home. It's a little bit like the Celtics. It's like, oh, we have Gordon Hayward. We have Jason Tatum. We have Jaylen Brown. You know, we have, this is when they had Kyrie. We have Kyrie Irving, and Antonio Brown's the Kyrie. And is it necessary? On paper, it looks like it's great. But in reality, you have to manage those egos and you have to be able to blend all those guys together. And it's not necessarily easy to do. So the upside out of this world.
Yeah.
But trying to make that work. I mean, this is not fantasy football. This is real football with real people and real personalities and real egos and only one ball.
So I guess I'm going all in on Brady and the leadership that he brings. But in terms of what could go wrong, I think you're absolutely right. When you look at, first of all, Bruce Arians, I don't think is on board with this move, just from what he said at the beginning of the season and saying that, you know, he's not a fit in our locker room. And then they're not exactly the most disciplined team to begin with, right? So now to bring this into your locker room, there's potential that this could blow up. I just think if it goes wrong, you still have enough talent in Tampa Bay to kind of overcome this. But yeah, there's no question that I wonder what Godwin, I wonder what Mike Evans is going to think about this too, because, I mean, Antonio Brown is clearly Tom Brady's guy, right? I mean, he's going to feed Antonio Brown when he gets there. So, you know, I think a guy like Mike Evans might take a backseat because Antonio Brown too, look, as crazy as he is, he's also the perfect receiver for Brady, right? Isn't that the guy that Brady absolutely loves throwing to more than a guy like Mike Evans that kind of stretches the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Brown, he's tremendously talented. I mean, you cannot quibble with the talent. When he's playing, he's healthy, he's as good as anybody in the game. And what's unique about him is that he can do it all. You know, he's a guy, he can run the shorter routes, catch him and take him deep. He's an excellent route runner. He can also take the top off of defense. He's very good at reading coverages. He can do so many different things when he's right and when he's focused and when he's not being disruptive. But, you know, how often has that been recently in his career where he has been right, where he has been focused, where he has not been disruptive in terms of what's happening off the field? So we'll see. You know, the other thing is too, is that he's jumping onto, it's not, so this is not like when he joined the Patriots where he spent all training camp with the team. He, not the Patriots, the Raiders, but he was in training camp, you know, preparing to play a football season. And then you mentioned just having a few practices, but he still joined the team like the second game of the season.
Right.
Obviously, that's the only game he played. It didn't work out. But now he's going to be jumping on this. He has to sit out the first, eight games. And now he's going to be jumping on midway through. How ready is he to play? He's had a long and lengthy hiatus from football dating back to last year. This team has already built an identity and stuff. And then he's going to come in, and you know Brady's going to force feed it to him right off the jump. That might not necessarily work. Like, there are some questions here for me, just taking out the comportment and the behavioral stuff. Him being off from football that long and trying to jump into a team midseason, that could in its own way be disruptive, just purely from a football X's and O's standpoint.
So that's a good point, too, right? I mean, the guy hasn't really played football in 18 months. So what's it actually going to look like when he gets back out on the field? The Brady stuff, too, just fascinates me. Tommy Kern was tweeting out a couple of pages from the book, The Dynasty, this morning, too. And he brought up a good point, and they had the Antonio Brown stuff in there. And when Antonio Brown was signing with the Patriots, and he writes, Brady would have preferred to keep an experienced player like Demaryius Thomas on the roster at the end of camp. And the quarterback was frustrated that after two decades as the team's quarterback, he still wasn't a part of the conversation before important moves were made. I think it's interesting now that he leaves New England, doesn't have a say in a guy like Demaryius Thomas staying on the roster with the Pats, and now all of a sudden it seems like, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, that he gets to call the shots, and if he wants a guy on the roster, you know, Tampa Bay is pretty much going to get it done for him.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, one of the reasons that he obviously left is he wanted maybe a little more respect, a little more say. I always looked at it this way, McCone, as the Bill Belichick-Tom Brady relationship evolved over the course of years. I thought that it needed to be a little bit more like a partnership and a little bit less, you know, Johnny Foxborough haranguing.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you don't coach him. Doesn't mean you don't criticize him. Doesn't mean that you don't hold Tom Brady to a standard, but it's sort of like the old saw about you treat everybody equally, but that doesn't mean you treat everyone the same. And so I think that Brady earned the right to have a little bit more input there. And I can see where Tampa Bay would be intriguing to him and would be a situation that would look good to him because he can have that. But, I don't feel good about this move for Tampa. I just don't. I don't think that Brown is – I don't think he's reliable, and I think that he's volatile.
Yeah.
And I think in a season with the coronavirus where there's already so much uncertainty and there already are so many obstacles. Like, I had people tweeting at me like, well, you don't know, like someone could get COVID and go down. And like, yeah, I get that. But is that really the reason they're signing Antonio Brown? No, like he's going to be signed. He's going to play. And then they're going to just like insert him in this offense. And let's be honest, he is going to usurp or supersede somebody else. And I don't know how that's going to make other guys on that team feel. Guys that have been with Brady, guys that went to his COVID practices where Cameron Brake got COVID when they were practicing at that high school in Tampa, guys who did that and did everything for him. And now it's like, oh, you're bringing in your buddy Antonio Brown and you're just going to chuck it to him after I've done everything for you and done everything you wanted me to do up until this point. And we're a winning team. Now we're just going to throw this guy in the mix and he doesn't have to put any of the work in and he jumps right to the front of the line. That's the human element of sports.
Yeah. No, the fascination that Brady has with Brown, I think, is pretty interesting. I love the move. I think the upside is unbelievable. But I will say this, the importance of kind of having these decisions and being in on the decisions, I'm 100% with you. Maybe Brown's an extreme, but I look at that move that we just talked about with Demaryius Thomas. Like, that should have been a move that Brady was in on when you're talking about getting rid of a veteran receiver like that for the Patriots. So if you're Brady, yeah, I would be frustrated by that as well. All right, 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. See you guys lined up. We'll get to your calls coming up in just a bit. It is Gasper and Murray, Tim McCone in for Murray on this Saturday morning.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, The Sport.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bruce Arians not exactly leaving anything up to interpretation as to whether or not he would want Antonio Brown on the Bucks.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
There you go.
There's no room.
Yeah.
And probably not enough money, but it's just not going to happen. It's not a fit here.
Interesting. Well, there is room, though, because you lost Perriman. I don't know. If he says, I'm coming in on the veteran minimum, coach, I just want to play with Tom, you still wouldn't find a way to get him in?
No.
Wow. Is it just because you don't trust what he could do to the culture? Why so steadfast that you would not give it a chance?
Yeah, I just know him, and it's not a fit in our locker room.
All right, that was not Antonio Brown. That was Bruce Arians on Antonio Brown back in March, and Bruce probably should have checked in with Tom Brady before doing that interview there, Chris.
You got to check with the boss before you say
Yeah, you got to check with the higher-ups before you say stuff like that, because guess what? Antonio Brown is now a Tampa Bay Buck. It's Gasper and Murray, Tim McCone in for Murray. And let's get to the phone, 617-779-0985. I am in on the move. Gasper is out. B-Rob, I wish you filtered these in terms of people that agreed with me versus not, but we'll go to Tom in Newton. Tom, what's going on?
Yeah, hey, guys. I just wanted to congratulate Tom Brady for shoving it up Bill Belichick's keister. I mean, tremendous. I mean, he went down there. He got the money. He got the weapons. He's got Antonio Brown. I mean, they're looking good. I mean, I know we forgot how many downs he had the other night, but in any event, I mean, you look at the trend lines between the Patriots and the Buccaneers, and it kind of paints the picture. And I mean, look, I have as much respect for Bill and just what he's done as anybody else. But the bottom line is, you know, kind of given what we've learned about the tensions and kind of what was going on behind the scenes over the last few years, and I know some guys, you know, like Felger and Bedard want to look at like these like still photos of the all 22 and say, oh, look, guys were open, Cam's just missing them. I mean, look, the bottom line is this offense on the Patriots hasn't been right. I mean, Brady went down there, he got his weapons, good for him. And ultimately, if this is how this thing ends with the Patriots and you know, this is the way things go, it's just kind of sad. It's unfortunate. So thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for the call, Tom. It does look like Brady's winning the breakup as of now, but Chris, do you think this is a move that catches the eye of Belichick?
Maybe. I mean, look, the reality is Brady and Belichick were on the same side of the Antonio Brown thing.
Yeah.
It was ownership that ultimately decided to part ways with him. Both Bill and Tom were in agreement that they liked him, that they thought they could work through it. They both were, I think, mesmerized by the talent, so the Antonio Brown thing, like I've heard people say that, like, oh, you know, he's really sticking it to Bill with Antonio Brown. I mean, I think there is an element of, and I've said this, McCone, there's a game on the schedule every week for the Patriots that's not actually on the schedule, and it's Tom versus Bill.
Yeah.
And we talk about it all the time. So maybe it catches Bill's attention in that regard, but because Tom's loading up to try and win that battle. But at the same time, I don't think he looks at it and is like, well, you know, I said Antonio couldn't play here, because he didn't.
Yeah.
Belichick sent him out to practice.
That's a great point.
The day they cut him.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, he wanted him to be there. Tom wanted him to be there. So I don't think, like, this isn't the same as bringing in Gronk, which I do think was basically, you know, a giant forget you to Bill Belichick.
I do think it's going to be interesting, and obviously Antonio Brown isn't a great example of it because it's not like he was going to wind up back in New England. But I think it's going to be interesting moving forward, seeing in terms of free agents and New England being a destination. Brady draws free agents. There's no question about it. We've already seen it in Tampa Bay with Fournette and some of those other guys that have gone down there. Is New England going to continue to be a destination spot without Tom Brady? And if this season isn't successful and it's more of a transition year, are they going to struggle to bring in free agents and kind of be that destination spot moving forward? I think that's going to be interesting.
That's a really interesting point, McCone. I hadn't really thought of it from that angle. I do know that in the past, the Patriots have really used very well and have trumpeted the fact that they have something called brand equity. And Robert Kraft told me about this in 2009, Dana Point, California, at the owners' meetings. You know, brand equity, the idea that players in the league, because the Patriots are the Patriots, because Bill's Bill and Brady's Brady, would take a little less to play there. I think we need probably a little bit more time to see if that's still going to be the case. It certainly was for Cam Newton.
Yeah.
I mean, Cam, that brand equity worked with Cam Newton. So I think it takes a little while for that to wear off. But there's no question that that allure in the past of guys being like, oh, I can play with Tom Brady. I can play with the guy. I mean, that's gone.
So, yeah, because I go back to the story. Chris Long was in with Zone Beetle last Super Bowl, I think. And okay. He told the story about he signs with New England, the one-year deal. Comes from the Rams. They lose every year. He just wants to win that Super Bowl. They're playing the Falcons. They go in at half. They're getting blown out. He's like, well, that sucks. You know, it was a good run. And Dron Harmon and Devin McCourty look at him. They're like, hey, we have Brady. Like, we're good. We're still in this. I just think that that mystique, you know, that goes away pretty fast. And Bill Belichick's the greatest coach of all time, but I don't think players are getting blown out at halftime going, wait until this blitz package in the second half. Like, we're good. We got to figure it out. You know, there's a difference there. So I just wonder, in terms of the Brady stuff, if this season, again, winds up being 9-7, does some of that allure that you talked about kind of go out the window for New England? I think that's going to be interesting.
I think that's a great point. It really is. You know, I think the question becomes, how much do guys look at it and say, I feel like if I go to this organization, I still definitely have a chance to win and be in the playoffs? Because to the point about Chris Long, the beginning of that story, I think a lot of the guys they brought in, like even going back to Corey Dillon, which was a trade, but it's this idea of you have not had a chance to compete for a championship. You've been on teams that are bad despite your individual success, and you want team success. And can the Patriots still sell that team success built around Bill? I think they can for a couple of years. I don't think 9-7 would take it away. But if there's like a 2 or 3 year period, and if like Brian Hoyer's the quarterback or Jared Stidham for 2 or 3 years, and it's like 9-7, 8-8, 7-9, then yeah, you lose it.
617-779-0985. Let's go back to the phones and let's talk to Bob in Needham. Bob, what's up?
Tim, before I get to AB, I just want to, Chris, I don't think Sanu was all of Brady's pick. Was he in the Rutgers guy? Didn't he know Steve Belichick? You guys keep blaming him for that Sanu thing. I don't think it was totally Brady that was pushing for him. I think they Belichick liked him because he was a Rutgers guy and he knew his son from college days. And I don't think it was all Brady pushing for him.
My understanding on that one is that they asked Brady his opinion of which guy he would want, Sanders or Sanu, and he said Sanu.
Okay, so it's his opinion. It wasn't him picking him and saying, don't do that. Anyways, about AB, I think I agree. I think it's a good move for them. I think it keeps him away from Seattle, which it looked like he was going there. So they view Seattle as one of their main threats in the NFC. So now, not only don't Seattle get them, they get him. And if he's got anything left, you made yourself a good trade. And like if he signed here like he did last year, everyone says, well, if he doesn't work out, we cut him, Chris. So I don't understand why you're so reticent about it. If it doesn't work out, they get rid of him. He's probably signed for the league minimum, so it's not a big risky deal for them. I wouldn't think. It wasn't like,
here's the thing. I think you're only familiar with the Patriots, so you're thinking about it like their locker room. Oh, if it doesn't work out, you just cut him and there's no damage. Because people here think every team's the Patriots. That's not the way it goes.
Yeah.
I don't think that, and I could be wrong, I admit that. I don't think the culture down there is strong enough to absorb Antonio Brown if he goes off the rails and for that to have no effect. Like, people are acting like every culture in the NFL. It's funny. It's both things. Like, I always hear, like, when some guy's out there who's known as sort of a misfit and a bad guy, it's like, well, the Patriots can absorb him because they have a better culture than everybody else. But now we're talking about this Antonio Brown thing, and we're basically saying, like, every team has the Patriots culture. So tell me which one it is. The Patriots have a better culture than everybody else, so they can absorb guys like Antonio Brown, or any team can do it, and really, this is a great move, and there's nothing to lose, because it can't be both.
No, look, I could see it completely going off the rails. If this goes bad, and look, I'm in on the move, but if it goes bad, I could see it completely going off the rails. Arians losing that locker room, Evans and Godwin checking out, like you said, this is a big year for Godwin in terms of the contract moving forward as well. So if it goes bad, yeah, there's potential there for it to go.
Antonio Brown signing there, and I'm not blaming Antonio Brown for this, but Antonio Brown signing there literally has the potential to take money out of Chris Godwin's pockets.
Yeah.
It does. And so, I mean, I'm sorry. These guys are human beings. Like, this is not like, you know, roto football or fantasy football. It's real football with real people. And this could work. I'm not saying it can't work. I'm just telling you that there are risk factors involved in terms of the human element here and human interaction and how him being brought in by Brady is perceived by other guys and how it affects their numbers on a team with guys who are like they're younger guys. Again, I think everybody's thinking of McCone like the Patriots, where it's you suppress your ego for winning, and winning is the ultimate thing. The Buccaneers have been on a situation where, sure, they want to win, but most of these guys have been judging the success of their NFL career while they're with Tampa based on their individual statistics.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. 617-779-0985. Let's sneak in one more call here before the break, and let's go to Larry in Duxbury. Larry, what's up?
Hi, guys. I think the culture point is a really important one that you're making, but I think the intangible here is that for some of the players who egos down there with AB and all the rest, the fact that they have a bigger chance of winning now than ever, even if he pulls some of his stunts and they win four more games or whatever, I think that's the intangible, but the players will tone it down a little because this may be as close as they get to ever making it to the big dance because they don't know how long Brady's going to be around. So I think for the players and their egos, it might be a little easier to check it if you're closer to winning a Super Bowl.
I mean, they're going all in with this move. There's no doubt.
No
but
doubt about
they're,
that.
They're putting their faith in a guy that, to your point, has blown up the last three locker rooms he's been in.
Yeah, I mean, if he hasn't blown up the locker room, I mean, he's just not reliable. You know, I think Pittsburgh and Oakland/Vegas, he did blow it up here. You know, he didn't blow up the locker room, but he blew up their plans by not being around.
Yeah.
I mean, that hurt them offensively. Belichick always says, you know, dependability is more important than ability. And Antonio Brown has all the ability in the world, but in terms of dependability, he has not been dependable for a long time now. And that's a question mark. And do you want to throw that? Like, you know, it's funny. We're having this discussion, and it wasn't that long ago that the Buccaneers lost that game on Thursday night to Chicago. And yeah, a lot of the discussion here on this station and from people was sort of the idea of like, man, not even Brady can change the Bucs culture. Now, all of a sudden, it's like they're bringing in Antonio Brown. And, all you know, because they beat Green Bay, like, the following week, it's like their culture is pristine, and he's already changed it. Before, I mean, that whole game, it was about forgetting
how undisciplined they are.
How undisciplined they are, the penalties, all that stupid stuff. You know, Brady's not rubbing off on the Bucs. The Bucs are rubbing off on Brady. Everybody was talking about that. They beat Green Bay, win one game, bring in Antonio Brown. Now the Bucs have nothing to lose because they have this pristine culture that 100% can absorb a loose cannon like Antonio Brown. How quickly we've changed.
It has flipped pretty quickly. Yeah, I still love the move. I love it. All right, so Antonio Brown on the table. Also coming up next, want to get to this Patriots game because a huge matchup on Sunday. Jimmy G back in New England. Want to get your thoughts on him as well, Chris. It is Gasper Murray, Tim McCone in for Jim Murray on this Saturday. We'll get to your phone calls coming up after this as well.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores. .org/Noah.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, back here, 98.5, The Sports Hub. It's Gasper Murray, Tim McCone in for Murray. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. I said I was the Brian Hoyer of fill-ins here at 98.5. Zoe tweeted at me, said I was the Stidham. I don't know if that's a compliment or not. I'll take it as somewhat of a compliment.
I think it's a compliment,
you think it's
McCone.
An upgrade over
totally.
Hoyer?
I think it is, and I love Hoyer. He's a really good guy. You know, I just think he's limited. I think what Zoe's saying is that you're young. You know, you look like a potential franchise player. You just need more reps and experience, a lot of upside. I think that's a real compliment.
I like that. I'll take that. All right. 617-779-0985. I wanted to get into this matchup in terms of the Patriots because obviously they're going up against a former backup in Jimmy Garoppolo. And this is a huge game for New England coming up here. But just your thoughts on how the Pats look right now and how important is this game for New England on Sunday?
I think it's a really important game. They sort of squandered away a game that was a winnable game on their schedule in a season where they don't really have the pad to do that. And San Francisco is very banged up. They're not going to have either of their starting safeties. Jimmy Ward, Jaquiski Tartt are both going to be out. They have other injuries. They're really hurt. They're banged up at running back. I think this is an opportunity for the Patriots to take advantage of the 49ers' injury issues and take advantage of Jimmy G, a guy they know pretty well, and get this win. And after this win, you have to face Buffalo on the road, and then you have the Jets, which should be a layup, obviously, on a Monday night, but then it's Baltimore. So this like stretch coming up, and then even after Baltimore, I know Houston hasn't been good this year, but that's not an easy place to play. Deshaun Watson's playing well. You got to go there. And Arizona's been, you know, they were my surprise pick when we did the 98.5 picks earlier this season. I said they'd make the playoffs, and they played really well. So there's not a lot of layups on the schedule for the Patriots. So if they were to lose this one and drop to 2-4, they could be in some trouble.
And I got to be honest, I'm really concerned about the offense too, right? I mean, it looked good this first few weeks. You look at that Seattle game again and just how bad that defense is now, it kind of makes you second guess a little bit. But just in terms of the weapons that Cam Newton has, I wonder here if it's ultimately going to be good enough moving forward, because they struggled big time against Denver. I know that the lack of practice was there, but I just look at some of the skill positions, and it's crazy to me that you could have had the year that you had last year. And obviously N'Keal Harry going to year two, I think that they expected a little more from what they got out of him, but to come back and kind of run it back with ultimately this same offense, it's been tough, and I don't know if they have enough firepower here to get it done in some of these bigger games.
Yeah, I'm glad you hit on this, McCone. I don't really feel like the issue here is Cam Newton. Let's just have a little context to his performance against Denver, which was bad. I'm not going to defend the performance, but there's a lot of talk about not being able to practice. Cam Newton had not played in a game in 21 days as a quarterback. That's really difficult to do. And the weapons they have for him, I'm using air quotes, weapons, it's not going to be easy for anybody. And this is what I was trying to say on Felger and Maz yesterday when I had all the technical issues. I don't care if you have the genetically engineered spawn of Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Joe Montana. With these weapons, there's a lot of heavy lifting for the quarterback, and it's not easy. And I'll give you a stat. This is courtesy of Mike Reese, ESPN. Nobody covers the team better. Per NFL Next Gen Stats, Patriots receivers have had 29.5% of their targets deemed open. Within 1 yard, it's been thrown into a tight window, 1 yard or less. So let me say that again. According to NFL Next Gen Stats, so they're using player tracking here to assess separation, 29.5% of the targets to Patriots receivers have been thrown into a tight window, which is classified as 1 yard or less.
That's so crazy.
I mean, that's just, and I went back and watched the Jonathan Abram interception because I feel like there's a little revisionist history here. People are like, oh, Cam hasn't played well his last two games. I didn't think he was great against Vegas, but I didn't think he was as bad as Denver. Yeah. I went back and watched that interception earlier in the game. Watch how long he holds the ball, then runs outside the pocket. You can actually audibly hear him yell to one guy to say go, as in like run towards the end zone. Basically like, can you try to get open?
Right.
And then he makes a bad decision and tries to squeeze it in to it look like Izzo there. So when I look at it, I just sort of feel like you can't put it all on Cam Newton. And do you know why? Do you know why Bill Belichick brought up this practice thing? Like, you've covered the team for a while. How forthcoming is Belichick usually after a loss?
Not very. Yeah.
How often does he say on the most basic questions that he doesn't know the answer right now, he has to look at the film to give you an answer?
100%. That's generally the answer, right? We need to play better. I need to look at the film, and that's kind of it. There's very little excuse making when it comes to losses with the Patriots.
So on a question about the offensive line, which was the question that was asked, he unsolicited volunteered that they looked bad because they needed more practice time. So here's my thought on that, McCone. I think there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, practice time would help, but not having practice time is something Bill's not responsible for. That's the NFL's issue in COVID. The lack of weapons and not being able to score against Denver would reflect directly on him. So it's much easier to point the finger at the lack of practice time and do that preemptively than sort of acknowledge the fact that you didn't build a very good offensive team.
No, I think it's a great point. 617-779-0985. You know, coming into the year, Kevin Clark from The Ringer wrote an article kind of about, you know, one of the things about the Patriots that makes them different from other teams is that they're going to bring in a guy like Cam Newton, and they're not going to ask him to do what Tom Brady does. Obviously, they built it in a way to kind of emphasize the strengths of Cam Newton. And I think that is what makes the Patriots better than a lot of teams, is that they put their players in a position to be successful. They've changed this offense around to put Cam in a position to be successful. But you know what? If you don't have those other weapons, all of a sudden, when you've seen it, you can put 46 guys in the box now and because you're not worried about N'Keal Harry and Demir Bird beating you. And that's ultimately going to be a problem. And I think that's what we saw last week, and that would be my concern moving forward, is that, you know, there really isn't anybody on this offense that's going to scare you, so you can kind of load up in the box and stop the run, and all of a sudden you're going to have some major issues. Never a good sign when you're breaking out the AFC Championship game trick plays against Drew Lock in week 5, right? Like, that's not ideal. And they did it twice last week. They did it twice.
Can I give you a quick stat on that? Because I love that you brought that up. So just talking about the wide receivers, so Cam Newton, obviously, on that trick play, one catch, 16 yards. That meant that he had one more catch than N'Keal Harry and double the receiving yards of Julian Edelman.
Oh, yeah, that's not...
In that game.
That's not great. That's not great. I do... What are your thoughts on N'Keal Harry? Because I was actually relatively high on him because, look, he missed the first half of last year, but when he had the ball in his hands last year, he looked like an explosive player. Even that... The one where he allegedly stepped out against the Chiefs, that was a pretty impressive play, and you just haven't seen, especially after the catch this year, anything from him.
Yeah, this is an interesting game because obviously you have Brandon Ayuk on the other side, who also played at Arizona State 1 year behind N'Keal Harry, and he's looked pretty good for San Francisco, doing what you're talking about, ball in the hands.
Right.
You know, they use him in the run game on jet sweeps and ends around and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, Harry, to me, he's not ready at this stage of his career to be a number two wide receiver. I think he's still developing as a three or four, maybe. What I see, and again, I'm not a scout, I'm not an expert, but what I see from him is just he's very deliberate in his route running. He lacks something that the Patriots have traditionally valued a lot in receivers, which is suddenness, right? So maybe Julian Edelman's straight line speed is not the fastest guy in the world, but he's very sudden in his movements, you know, very quick.
Yeah.
They've always kind of valued that. Harry doesn't have any of that. And I was watching him in training camp this year, and I know he did all this work with the Route King and all that other stuff. By the way, I think didn't Sanu do that? And now he's like out of the league.
Yeah.
But when he's just very deliberate, very slow, almost mechanical, coming in and out of his breaks. And until he can change that, I think it's going to be hard for him to fool guys, beat guys, get open. And then he's not quite the, like, Kenny Golladay go-up-and-get-it beast that he was billed as, at least that he was in college at Arizona
right.
State. Like, I'm always shocked more that he doesn't just sort of Michael Irvin guys, like, push him out of the way or just, you know, jump up like Golladay does and grab the ball. Because he did all that stuff in college, but he doesn't do it. So when you combine all those factors, I just think, again, that goes back to that stat I cited. Like, he's not going to get a lot of separation. And then if you're not going to out-leap or out-physical guys, you're not the easiest guy to throw to.
No, you're not. And you're right. You know, even watching him at camp, he just didn't, he never really popped, and you never watched him and said, oh, that, you know, he's making that leap and he looks. The guy that jumped off the page for me in camp was Gunnar Olszewski.
Yes.
That probably should have been a red flag right there if he was standing out in terms of the wide receiving core, that maybe they don't have enough going into the season. But that was the guy that I thought was actually going to make an impact on this offense. All right, 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. It's Gasper and Murray. Tim McCone in for Jim Murray. Going to get to your calls on the other side. Plus, want to get your thoughts on the quarterback coming into New England this weekend, Chris, in Jimmy Garoppolo and where he's at in his career as well. It's all on the other side here on Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name's Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, it's really just you got to be on your toes. I think finding the safeties is a big part of it. They do a great job mixing and matching their DBs, a lot of different personnel groups. But, you know, it's at the end of the day, you just got to go play ball. You know, they're going to do something that we're not preparing for. And, you know, it's just at the end of the day, you got to play ball.
Can I talk now? I'm allowed. All right, got it, got it. I'm figuring it out on the fly.
Right. Think about it.
Okay, Gasper and Murray. Tim McCone in for Murray.
Tim McCone and Chris Gasper, two guys with a lot of mic issues.
Yeah. That was your pick stick. Six, Stephen.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. All right, 617-779-0985. I want to sneak in a couple calls here before we go to headlines. Let's talk to Nick in Florida, who's been hanging on for a long time. Nick, what's going on?
I just want to talk about Antonio Brown going nuts down in Tampa. So I think the biggest thing is their depth in the wide receiver. They've been so injury-prone right now with Godwin only playing in like two roughly full games, and then Scotty Miller also dealing with some injuries. So I think that's the biggest reason why they're bringing down Antonio Brown, because Brady can't really do it with just Evans. I mean, we've seen him do it with less than, you know, in New England, but I think that's the big thing is having depth down there. And also you lost O.J. Howard, so Gronk's been, you know, kind of getting back to what he was before, but we still have the question mark on him. The other thing on N'Keal Harry, I heard you guys talking about, I think that dude's a bunch of water weight. He, you know, he's a big dude, and he works out all the time, but all I can think about is when he caught that pass, he was trying to make that first down, and he just got flattened by the DC. So I think he's just a big water weight dude. I think he needs to toughen up, and I think that's the only reason why he can't be a good receiver. But thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for the call, Nick. On paper, what he said about the injuries in Tampa Bay, I think a lot of people are saying that that's accurate, but it's really not the case right now when it comes to the receivers in Tampa, right?
I mean, again, I just checked their injury report, and, you know, they have guys listed as, like, you know, questionable and who practiced and who didn't on Friday. Neither Godwin nor Evans on the Buccaneers website are listed as being, like, on the injury report with some sort of designation. Maybe that's just a mess up on their site, but it says Evans was a full participant in practice on Friday, and, you know, it does have Godwin as being limited, but he played last week. And again, he needs to play and put up stats because he's going to be a free agent and he wants to get paid. I know Brady likes the Scotty Miller guy. He's had a hip groin situation. I love the rookie Tyler Johnson.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. I'd like to see more of him. There's a Justin Watson kid down there. And I'm not saying that all these guys are better than Antonio Brown. The only guy with any case for that is probably Evans. But Gronk's coming along. They still have Cameron Brate. It's like you're going to have to crowbar Antonio Brown into that offense, and Antonio Brown getting passes thrown his way, by definition, is going to take passes away from somebody else, and I'm just curious how they respond to that. I think, look, maybe there's an injury situation. You and I have talked about this. I think the single biggest reason and best reason for the Buccaneers to sign Antonio Brown is not to placate Tom Brady. It's not to go all in. It's to keep him away from the Seahawks.
Yeah, that's a great point, because if it goes off the rails with Tampa Bay, I would imagine that Brown's going to be done in the NFL, and that's going to be it. So to keep him away from one of the teams that is going to be your competitors in the NFC, I think is a smart move by Tampa Bay. It's going to be interesting. There's risk. I'm a sucker for the sexy move. That's why I'm in on the Antonio Brown move. I'll say this, too, from a Patriots perspective. It is frustrating, and not that Antonio Brown was going to come back to New England, but you're looking at an offense that we talked about earlier, desperately needs a playmaker right now, and to see Brady get just another one. Now he's got three top 15 receivers in the NFL, and again, you're throwing in N'Keal Harry, who gets flattened by 5'8 corners, and D'Amir Byrd. It's a little frustrating.
I mean, D'Amir Byrd's been good.
He has. But again, it's D'Amir Byrd. Like, there's a ceiling to that.
Yeah, that's the problem. And Doug Kide of Nesson wrote about that. Like, the reality is D'Amir Byrd is being used like a number one receiver, and everybody in the league knows that's not what he is. But for what he should be, which is a number three, he's been good. He's actually been like what a lot of people here thought Philip Dorsett was when Dorsett was here. So Bird has been good. Nice signing. It's just that, you know, with Edelman hurt and on a pitch count, and you're asking N'Keal Harry to be a number two receiver when that's just not who he is at this point in his career, and it might not ever be where he is. It's just not right. And again, you look at it and the weapons just aren't there for any quarterback to succeed. You know, this was Brady's issue last year. Now it's Cam Newton's issue. And that sort of leads me, I know you want to talk about this, but to Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Like, I think if Jimmy G were here, he'd be having a lot of the same struggles because you're just not surrounded by the weapons. Look at last year when he went to the Super Bowl. Kittle was basically like a number one receiver, had a 1,000-yard season. A rookie receiver in Deebo Samuel had 800 yards. And then they signed or traded for Emmanuel Sanders. He had legit weapons around him.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good point. And, you know, when you go back to the Bird thing, it's what we talked about earlier, too, putting players in a position to be successful. And Bird right now is being asked to be in a role where, you know, I think he's a little, you know, out ahead of his skis almost. Quickly, before we get to the Jimmy G stuff, in terms of bringing in a guy, just the smoke around the Gilmore stuff in terms of the trade deadline, buyers or sellers, what do you think kind of shakes out here? And do you think you could see a big move from the Patriots?
I think you could see a big move from the Patriots, really, either way. What's interesting to me, you know, the Gilmore situation, obviously that's going to have to come to a head at some point with that contract. What could you get for him? I heard Felger and Maz talking about, could you get the Jalen Ramsey deal, 2 first-round picks? Could you get the Jamal Adams deal? Obviously those guys are younger than Gilmore. But for a team that maybe feels like they're close and Gilmore can put him over the top, I don't know. Maybe the Bucks want Gilmore.
Yeah.
They could use some corners. How would that would be interesting. I would say it's more likely, and this is opinion, this is not reporting, I want to be clear on that. I would say maybe it's more likely they deal a guy like Tooney.
Yeah.
Because now you've seen Owenu, who looks like a beast. Like, he looks like, what a find that guy looks like. And then you have Huron with those two young guys, and Tooney's not going to be here beyond this year. You could maybe move on from him, trade him to a team that... There were teams interested in him if he was not franchised and hit the market. There might be a team that wants Joe Tooney for this year to help him, but also is willing to give him that big contract. And maybe you can get something back for a guy that otherwise all you would get would be a pick at the end of the third round, not this year, but 2022.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I also think that this week is going to be a lot, or it's going to be telling in terms of what the Patriots do moving forward as well. Because like you said, this schedule coming up is not going to be easy for New England. So if they drop this game, then I think maybe they kind of change plans and change course in terms of what they do coming up at the deadline. I think that's going to be interesting too. I will say this as well. I think Julian Edelman probably cried himself to sleep last night when he found out about the Antonio Brown news. So maybe, I mean, is Edelman...
I hadn't even thought about it. That's a good point.
Is Edelman potentially going to... Not that they're going to bring him in Tampa, but I don't know. We'll see what's
okay,
in play.
Okay, so I have to... I'm probably contradicting myself, and I know you want to go to break here, but if Edelman ends up down there with Antonio Brown, I'm on board.
All in.
Yeah, like, I'm all in. Like, if it's like, we're getting the whole band back together, and Edelman gets traded down there, and they're like, oh, Scotty Miller... And all these injuries for their wide receivers of the Buccaneers, and they bring Edelman in, and it's, you know, Edelman, Antonio Brown, Gronk, Mike Evans, Godwin. Then I'm in. I'm in on that. So I think general manager, you know, executive vice president of football operations, the real Don, not John Elway, the real Don, Tom Brady, needs to make a call. He should do what Parcells did to Kraft when they did the negotiations for Belichick. Brady should call Belichick and say, hey, Darth Vader here. Ha ha. We'd like to make a deal. What do I need to give you, Bill, to get Julian? That's what he should do before the November 3rd trade deadline.
I love that. Then he calls up Bruce Arians and lets him know what happened, like he probably did yesterday. Hey, Bruce, we got Antonio Brown. Just want to give you a heads up. He's going to be at practice. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. I want to get to the Jimmy G thoughts coming up after Hub Headlines right now on 98.5.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.